I want to talk to you tonight about the most basic need that you have. You need somebody, no matter who you are, to be on your side. And we're going to talk tonight about picking sides. And you know, a lot of you are in elementary education. You guys know how important it is to invest in a kid. The kid's going to be healthy, has got to know from a very young age that someone's on his side, right? We've seen how kids that are told that they're stupid and worthless and whatever, we see how that story plays out. And you get a little older, and I mean, these kids are just so taken in such a good environment at home or whatever, and that's what's so scary. I mean, I'm telling you, the scariest and saddest day of your life was when your little kid gets on the bus, kindergarten, goes off to school. I mean, I cried every time. Every time my kids went, I'm like, they're going to find disappointment there. They're going to find people that are not on their side there. But it's going to happen eventually for all of you. And you know probably the biggest drama that's happening in every school, every elementary school across this nation is who's on whose side. Johnny's on my side. He said, "Is my friend. How about you? Are you my friend now?" You know that whole story? It doesn't change much, does it, as we get older? We're a little more sophisticated in the way that we do it. But the reality is still the same, that we want people and need people on our side. And so I'm going to talk to this concept a little bit, because there is nothing that feels better and nothing that is more primal than having someone on your side. But you also know those kids that had good parents that were on their side that never returned the favor to their parents, and they just grew up brats. People that are always just, I assume, or they're assuming that people are on their side, but they don't do anything with that, or they don't return the investment and become selfless. There's something unbalanced and wrong with that. The real beauty, the real magic of this world that you'll get to experience is when you get two people that are completely on both, on each other's side. I haven't done a lot of things great in my life, but one thing I think I've done well is I have been on my wife's side. She is on my side, and we are entering into a stage in our life that we absolutely love. We're investing in each other. We are on each other's side, no matter what, even when she says something dumb. Because I never say anything dumb, right? This is the kind of unconditional love that produces great, great things. I want to tell you tonight, if you've never heard this before, this is a message that's just got to be true to you tonight. You got to understand this concept, because where we're going tonight, what we're landing on tonight, what we're introducing tonight is foundational for the rest of the semester. And it starts right here with you acknowledging the fact that God is on your side. He is. There is something ingrained in all of us that is a lie, that somehow we all believe this idea that God's on God's side, and we just drew a line, God's on God's side, you're on the other side, and you have to do something to earn that right to be called his. And you know you've done too many bad things, you've thought too many bad things, or you just are born at a certain wrong family, or whatever you think is wrong in that respect, because God has not just stepped over the line a little bit, he has jumped way onto your side. He has one big message. It's been a big message from the very beginning of time with all of the people. He says, I want you all to know I made you in my image. You are my people. You sinned. Yes, you did, and you separated yourself, but I'm going to jump into your side. I'm going to start this thing. I'm going to initiate this thing by coming to you. And it just didn't happen only in the New Testament, people. It didn't happen just when Jesus came and came down. Of course, that was the biggest step of his, where he said he's coming into our world and he's going to die for us while we are still sinners. But I'm going to go even further back to where there was this nation that he separated, called out to put like a city on a hill to say, other nations, I want all people in the world to come to me. I want everyone to come to my side, but I'm going to jump on your side. And his way of doing it in the Old Testament, it's kind of cool. The way he interacts with this particular nation is very similar parallels to how he works with us as individuals in the New Covenant. But in this old covenant, we have to understand how he started this whole thing. And this is what he did. You guys might know that whole Joseph story where he went and his 12 brothers, they all hated him and they threw him into a pit and then sold him into slavery and went into Egypt. And long story short, Joseph ends up becoming second in command. His brothers come begging for food and they have this big reunion and they stay there in Egypt. And those 12 brothers ended up having kids, and we call those the 12 tribes of Israel. And they ended up having kids and having kids and having kids. And over time, there's like a million of them. And Pharaoh in Egypt's like, this is a problem. They're going to overtake us. And so he made them all slaves. This is how the story of Israel starts. And God says, I'm going to initiate and start my nation by rescuing them out of captivity. How many nations are born out of captivity? One. God says, this is the precedent that I want to set for all people to see, that you are captive. You're a captive group of people in slavery, and I'm going to jump across the line, I'm going to enter into your story, and I'm going to rescue you out of captivity. How different is that from you and me? We are slaves. We were all born into it. Slaves and captives to sin. And he's jumped into our world and he says, I'm going to rescue you from that. So if you know the whole story, God jumps in. He uses Moses to go in and deliver these people out. And they end up having all of these signs from God that are kind of miraculous. And the people, their response is amazing. Number one, they don't believe it. This isn't true. It's not going to happen. No. Do you see? There's all of these miracles happening around us. There's all of these plagues that are happening. No, it's just making things life harder here. I don't believe it, and I'm ungrateful. Their response to God's initiating was, I don't believe it, unbelief, and ungrateful. For a lot of you, grace has come to you. Rescue has come to you. An offering hand has come to you. You don't really believe it, and you're not really grateful. That's just how we are. That's the nature of who we are. Well, the next thing happens is God rescues them out. He actually does take them out. He leads them out of captivity. We're going to get into more of the story as the semester goes on, so I'm going to spare some of the details. But as they come out of Egypt, there is a cloud during the day that God says, I'm going to make it super clear to you. You guys are confused about how I guide or how I'm going to lead here. I'm going to make it really clear. I'm going to put a cloud in the sky. Just follow that cloud. At night, it's going to be hard to see the cloud. I'll turn it into a fire flame for you. And you just follow me around. I'll guide you out. And so God miraculously leads these people out of Egypt, and they end up being led to this really tight spot where they're up against the ocean, and you've got Pharaoh who changed his mind, and he's sending all these people, all these soldiers, to come after them, and they're between a rock and a hard place, and they throw up their hands, and what do? They complain again. And you know what they say? This time it's a little different. It's a little different. It isn't that they don't believe, and it isn't that they're ungrateful. Now it's a little different, because now they sit there and they say, you know what? We wish we would have went back. I want to go back to what I know. I want to go back to slavery. I know it was hard, but I want to go back. And for some of you, God has led you. He's led you out. You followed him for a little bit, and it got hard. He led you to ISU, and you're flunking out. He led you to ISU, and there's this girl, and she's just really awesome, but now you realize she's not really that into you. You were led here and you're like in this tight predicament. You're like, you know, it might just be easier if I go back to what I knew. I know it's sin. I know it's hard. I know it's captivity. I know it's slavery, but it's what I know. And I want to go back. And God's like, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. I've jumped in your, I've got big plans for you. And so they have this crazy prayer. I'm sure there was a number of them there on that shore that are like, the only way we're going to get out of this is a miracle. And there may have been some people saying, I don't like water. I think I might drown. And I don't like getting my head chopped off by these people coming. And there's just this tension in that spot. And they said, probably a prayer that we've prayed before. God, if you can get me through this, I'll never doubt you again. You ever been there? God, if you can just get me through this one thing, I'll never doubt you again. And the sea splits, they walk across, and all of the captives that kind of come after them are swallowed up and swallowed away. And they sing a song on the other side, and they're like, dang, that's awesome. And you know what happens? They forget in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, time it. I think it's in scripture somewhere. They forget in 2 minutes. And they just start rolling along, and they just absolutely forget that incredible miracle. What was the miracle in your life? What is that thing that you once prayed and said, God, if you can get me through this, I'll never doubt you? Remember it? You may have forgotten it. I've prayed that prayer a lot of times, and I forget, that's how bad I am. I forgot that I forgot. It happens when you get older. And so this might be a place for you to remember, like that car accident that you almost got into, that you, only you know how close that was. And you're like, dang, God just got me through that. Let's not forget, God is on your side. And from there, after that miracle, they are led out into this wilderness, and they're like, we're going to die. They're just complaining. And God says, I'm going to provide you some food, miraculously. And it's going to be every day. It's not the kind of miracle that comes once out of heaven. It's the kind of miracle that comes every day out of heaven called manna. And they get to pick it up every day. Don't take up too much, just enough. And we're just going to, just enough for you to get by. I'm going to provide for your daily needs. Do you know what they responded with? This is bland. I don't like it. Right? Not exactly excited about what provision was happening every day. How is God providing for you every day? How many of you don't have a bed to sleep on? Had to show up here tonight because you don't have any heat? How many of you are missing meals? Do you know this city is like known for like the most restaurants per capita? Did you guys know that? It's silly. It's been like that for like 20 years. I don't know if that's just I think that's true. It's like, I don't really like KFC. I need Chick-fil-A, you know? It's like, we just need Chipotle. Oh, I need my Qdoba. I don't know, whatever, you know, or maybe vice versa. I don't know. But it's just like, oh my goodness, we're kind of like the Israelites there. This God provides every day. Every day. Every day on three, every day. It was an inside joke for some of you guys. All right. And God's providing. And what do they respond with? They respond with boredom. And they respond with complaining again. And then they come to this mountain. I'm going to get to some scripture here in a second. I'm building up, okay? You guys following me? You guys with this? You guys with this trip? And so after they've been provided for every day, they come to this mountain. God leads them to this mountain. And there is this incredible scene where there is smoke coming off the mountain. And that little, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but God had a little tabernacle that they would carry around. It was really to house the Lord. So he was by pillar of cloud and by pillar of fire. And he also lived in this little holy of holies that they would like open up this like temple, and he was in the holy of holies. Well, on this particular day, he was out of the holy of holies. He was on the mountaintop, and he was in this huge mountain, and the whole mountain is smoking. And it says that there are sounds of trumpets blasting. There's fire coming out and it's rumbling, and the people are freaked out, scared. I mean, it is intimidating scene. And God says, don't come close to the mountain or you're going to die. And they all are like, dang, the Lord. And I'm wondering if you've ever had a scene like that, where you just trembled a little bit because you were like, I think I saw a glimpse of the Lord today. Like there's something almost eerie about the people that you've met and the things that they've said and the things that you're struggling with and the scripture that you're reading, and it's all tying together, and you're just like, dang, the Lord. And I had some of those experiences over the last couple months. You know, my son, I find out my son has a brain tumor, and it's like desperate times, and you're praying and you're crying to the Lord, and he provides, and you're like, dang. And there's this intense moment where you just know he's real. And I guarantee you, there's not a person that had a pulse in that setting who saw that scene that wasn't like, Lord's real. But you know what God's message has been all along, and it didn't change here? He says, I'm on your side. As scary as I might be, I'm on your side. I've come to you. Everything I've ever done from the very beginning is for you. I rescue you. I lead you. I miraculously get you through. I provide for you. I scare you. But I'm doing it on your side. I'm doing it for you. And it was at that point that he called Moses up to the mountain. And he gave Moses a very special document to help these people know how to live life to the fullest, the Ten Commandments. And he says, "This it's not a do or don't list. It's not a make you feel guilty kind of thing. It's not about trying to limit your life. It's about expanding your life. You do these things right, you're going to live well. I'm going to give you this. This is good stuff. It's a gift to you." And while he's up on the mountain, Moses up on the mountain, and after God has done so many things on their side, this is the response. And let's read from Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses was a long time in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron, and they said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Next. And Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings. They brought them to Aaron. He took what they had, handed him, and they made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." See this thing we just made out of our earrings that almost got swallowed up in the sea, but we got through the sea because God provided. Yeah. Those, we're going to put them in a pot, we're going to boil them up, and we're going to worship it. We're going to say that rescued us out of Egypt. That's our plan. While Moses is on that mountain that we were so scared of yesterday. Because you see, what ends up happening, and I'm going to just be blunt with all of us because this is just humans, is that in the midst of all of these things, no matter how much we've seen of the Lord and we think that we'll never, ever, ever forget, and we say, get us through this and I'll never forget, you will forget. You are a sinful person that is going to be consumed with the wrong things if left to yourself. And you're going to get to a point where you're going to be as ridiculous as this, where you worship something other than the Lord. I don't know what your something is, but I'm guessing it's happened for you, like it's happened for me. Last text. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the Lord, in front of the calf, and he announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord, this thing. And so the next day the people rose early and they sacrificed burnt offerings and they presented fellowship offerings, and afterward they sat down to eat and drink and they got up to indulge in revelry. They got super excited about worshiping a calf and then getting up and having what appears to me to be a sex party. Sometimes stresses are high, and sometimes distractions are high, and sometimes we are this stupid. Right? And you know what God's message is to you? Even in that moment, I'm on your side. Last verse. And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to the derision of their enemies. And then Moses stood to the gate of the camp and he said, the question of questions, because it ultimately comes down to this question, no matter how many times God's on your side, there is eventually a time where God's going to ask you, who's on the Lord's side? And Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And so I ask you tonight, I ask you, we just drew a line. Who's on the Lord's side? And I don't say that to guilt you. I don't say that to twist the knife and make you feel bad about all that. God's on your side, man. He's on your side. He's not standing over here. A lot of times we read this verse and it just reinforces that God's over here and you're over there and you've just been doing bad revelry stuff. And God says, I don't want you over. No, that's just not it. God's on your side, but he's begging a question. Are we going to make a marriage of this thing or not? Are we going to be on each other's side, or is this going to be a one-sided relationship forever? What's it going to be? That's kind of what he's asking. Who is on the Lord's side? And I am convinced without any shadow of a doubt that if the people in this room right now, who I think have been proven to without a shadow of a doubt know that God's on your side, return the favor to the Lord tonight, we're going to see an outbreak of sorts that's of unprecedented proportions. I think the Lord's going to do crazy, amazing, wonderful, awesome things because there's going to be this connection and this beauty and this thing that just takes off, this kinetic energy of people and God being on the same side. I've learned this semester, I've learned something. I've learned that I need people on my side. I'm 47 years old. And for some of the semester, last semester, I felt like I was separated from some of you. And as our ministry's growing, praise the Lord, we have offices that are just full of people over at the campus house, and I think that's just great, and I don't need an office as much as I need to be with you. And so this semester, I'm just telling you right now, I'm on your side. I want you to know I'm on your side. I want you to feel like you're on my side. And so I'm going to hang out at the campus house more. I'm going to try being at the campus house more. Just to be with you. And you know that I care, and you know, and I know that you care. You know, the best conversation I've had this whole year, I'm going to put him on the spot, he doesn't know I'm going to say it, was last week. Last week, Zane pulls me aside, right back here before Encounter. And he just simply says, you know, this whole merger thing, being a part campus church last year, and now I'm part of this ministry, and he says, it's hard. He says, but over break, he said, I just kind of realized that this must be hard for you too. Thanks, Zane. That was so meaningful to me. I need someone to know, I need to feel like people are on my side as well as you all, and I've got a connection and a trust with him that is way deeper and better than I think it would have been if the conversation didn't happen or wasn't even close to that kind of a conversation. And I want that for you and the Lord, for us and the Lord. You know, Jesus was the only place Jesus said he couldn't perform miracles was in his hometown where nobody believed in him. Nobody was on his side. They're just like, And he's like, moving on. I don't want God to be moving on from here at ISU. I want God to be like, these people get it. These people recognize that I've invested in them. They can be returned in investing in me. And we're going to do unbelievable, dynamic things in the name of Jesus this semester. And so here's my intro to what we're going to do. Who is on the Lord's side is a theme for the whole semester, pretty much the whole semester. We might be 2 or 3 weeks at the end that we do something different. But for the most of the part of this semester, we are going to understand that who is on the Lord's side. It's a call to holiness. Holiness means set apart. It means crossing the line. It means being on God's side. We are asking for that this semester. And God took that very seriously. And what's interesting about this story that we got to end with and we got to understand is at the bottom there it says that the Levites came running to him. Now, the Levites were one of those 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Levi's kids were all Levites, okay? It's not hard, okay? So the Levites, they come running to the Lord. And God is so impressed that the Levites are on his side, that he uses them to be the priests. And he says, I'm going to use you guys. The Levites were always the priests. Every priest that ever was for the Lord was from the line of Levi. And he says, I want to make you guys the holders of holiness. And I'm going to write a book for you to follow to help guide my people across the line. And the name of the book is Levi to Kiss. Okay, that's the proper pronunciation, I think, right? And so as we look through what some people might call Leviticus, we're gonna look through this book this semester. And if you've ever read Leviticus, it's weird. And it's a lot of offering goats and sheep and two doves here and whatever there. And we're not gonna be able to use the text necessarily every week, but there is an incredible, and you'll find out next week what it is, there is an incredible outline to Leviticus that we are going to follow this semester to be people to show God we are on the Lord's side. Thank you, Lord, for being on our side. Let us return the favor. Cool? All right. I want you to stand. Without making too much noise, let's stand. Band, you can come up. And this is the invitation that we want to make tonight. We're going to be very concrete over the next few weeks, months, about what holiness looks like, about what set apart people look like. Now understand this, set apart is not easy. That's why it's set apart. But it is fruitful, and it is worth doing, and it is what God's asked us to do. And so without getting into any specifics of what holiness looks like yet, I wonder if tonight might just be a good starting point for us to just at least say, God, I'm sorry for not recognizing that you've been on my side the whole time. That's a good starting point. It's a good starting point for me and Zane. Like, oh my gosh, want to hang out with Zane. Zane, you want to do lunch this week? Oh, okay, we'll talk about it later. God is going to respond so well to you just recognizing that you are saying, I'm on your side. As we sing these next few songs, I want that to be the primary feel. Just thank you. Thank you, God, for coming to me. And if you know that you haven't really been taking steps actively towards the Lord and you're ready to do that, and you want to take like that first step tonight, not blindly, not even knowing what it means yet, but knowing you need to take some kind of step towards the Lord, I've drawn a line. And you can probably take care of this in your own seat if you like, but if it makes you more comfortable and you'd rather cross this line and worship up here, you're welcome to do that. And if this all fills up and you're stuck back there, God knows your heart. But if you feel like it's an opportunity for you that you need to take advantage of taking a step tonight, then let's do that. Let's pray and let's let the Lord hear our praise. Jesus, oh my goodness. You have come a long ways for us. You have consistently come to our side. You believe in us. You love us. You accept us. You see all the dirt. You see all the pain. You see all the ugliness. You see all of our thoughts. You see all that stuff. You don't care. You're still on our side, and we are so grateful for that. And so during these next few minutes, hear our praise, hear our thanks for that, and prime our hearts for what the rest of the semester needs to look like so that we would be that set apart, unique place that says, this is where the Lord and people are going to make your spirit alive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.